corporate NPS hasn't seen as much of a widespread adoption as I would assume. Do you think this is one of the most underutilized wealth building opportunities that we've actually seen?
Absolutely. You know, this is something, these are early days. Only recently it was revised to 14%. But this is brilliant. You know, here is a PRAN number. It is portable. And this is the only tax-free income employees have. And it will get demonstrated. Now they have ample flexibility. A lot of people had this confusion or apprehension about the withdrawal mechanism. The kind of flexibility that PFRDA has brought about, all those objections are more than addressed. And this is the finest investment vehicle, the lowest cost investment vehicle for which you should accumulate.
NPS Zaruri Hai. And ENPI presents Retire Rich in association with Money Control.
Hello and welcome to National Pension System and Association of NPS Intermediaries present Retire Rich in association with Money Control. Well, millions of Indians are investing in financial markets like never before. They're building portfolios to achieve goals like buying a home, funding education, or simply to create wealth. Yet, when it comes to planning for life after work, retirement often remains one of the most overlooked financial goals. So why does this disconnect exist? How do we move from simply creating wealth to creating lifelong financial security? And what will it really take to build a pensioned India? To discuss this and more, it's my pleasure to welcome Dhirendra Kumar, founder and chief executive officer of Value Research. Dhirendra, great to have you on board.
Thank you. All right,
let's start with the question that I asked at the outset. Why this disconnect exists? Because we've only recently started to have an investing culture. We've traditionally had a saver culture. So from that context, why does this disconnect exist from of investing for wealth and investing for retirement? What would you say?
Investing for wealth comes with lot of envisioning. You know, you can envision that, okay, it comes with a date, daughter's wedding, your young child getting into college. 11 years from now, buying a house.
So there are specific goals.
Specific goals. You know, you are able to relate to it. You can visualize it. You can actually dream about it. You can feel happy discussing that. Oh, in three and a half years' time, we can actually go and attempt to buy this kind of house. It is a family conversation and you are chasing a goal. Retirement is something which looks like a distant future. And it begins, you know, we don't visualize retirement as a very pleasant thing. At a young age, not so. We can't even, it looks like a foolish thing to talk about that we still have so many 30, 40 years to work. Building wealth is an aspirational thing. Though retirement is a necessary thing. And most necessary thing, which are, which you don't want to relate to behaviorally, you tend to avoid.
And it's an interesting point that you bring about, because it's also a loss of control, which you would imagine. If you had invested it in the right way, you actually gain control of your life post-retirement. Let me extend this conversation to include some statistics, because less than 10% of India's working population has access to a formal pension. Now, beyond the numbers, what does this tell us about the way that Indians generally approach these long-term financial security ideas?
Indians historically had their pension in a different currency. that was children, property, gold. And when you look at the organized sector employment of in India, that's the reason why everybody clamored for or aspires to somehow get into the government job. I'm not talking of civil services, somehow get into this government job. Because the charm was that once you get into it, nobody can get rid of you. And second is that there is everybody, my parents, they were government employees, they have retired, they are very old. And this is beautiful. Inflation adjusted pension all their life. Many a times, much more than enough. That is what the understanding of retirement for a guy who was successful, for a person who was successful all his life. You know, you did well in school, you did well in college, you landed into a job, and now you're all set. That is the definition, and that is how most people are configured as well. So, property, children, gold, and this.
Well, it's a great point that you bring, because people usually associate the idea of pension being kisi aur ki zimmedari aur hame milti rahegi, and there's no problem in that aspect. I want to ask this question that retirement planning seems to be not just about choosing the right investment product. It's about the discipline for investing over such an extended period of time. So from that perspective, Dhirendra, is the challenge financial or is it behavioral in your opinion?
It is entirely behavioral and little bit structural, little bit design. You know, look at how historically the Indian pension system has existed. Government, it's taxpayers' problem. Only since 2004, NPS came into being, which really got operational in 2009. Government was virtually forced to do it. You know, this NPS was not designed as a pension system for citizens as a default. This is almost an afterthought that, okay, the changing demographic, the changing people. But it was basically to get rid of, you know, the impending liability that will accrue for central government and state government employees, that all the taxpayers' money will be guzzled in just providing the pensions. So something had to be done. And that is when they actually put the stop on 31st March 2003. When I think of what is happening, it's entirely behavioral. Every private sector employee, provident fund organization manages their money, which is substantially into fixed income. And think of it, every government employee, his money getting managed by NPS, or the discretionary money getting into it, where he has the choice of allocating 75% into equity and choosing a pension fund manager, which is a low cost thing. And it takes so long for anything staring at us, such practical thing, to make sense of it. So this is substantially behavioral for the people who are using it, because more and more people, it is not a matter of discretionary only, that is for the self-employed, that is for the businessman, but still some in any kind of work framework, any kind of work design, even if I'm a self-employed person, I set up a company. I set up a company and then I employ myself. I become an employee besides being a founder. And when I become one, what do I choose? The mandatory thing is provident fund, and NPS is still optional. And how do I get started? But the NPS is making rapid strides, and this is a very hard thing, because saving itself is hard, and saving is behaviorally very difficult to start to begin with. The reason is that when you get started, you have all the needs, and you have barely the means. And that is the time when investment works best. It has most of the time, and that is what an investment requires.
Has the general conversation, in your opinion, because, you know, this equity culture which has come about, it's become too return-centric versus a build lifelong financial security, which is what it should be.
Yeah.
What do you have to say about this?
Yes, it has become short, you know, it is return-centric. It always was. And for the people for whom it was not return-centric, they were not getting any return. In fact, most of the Indians, they have succeeded in saving their money either in the Provident Fund or in the PPF or in the LIC, which has not been a wealth build-up endeavor. They have not built wealth by following these mainstream investment avenues, the endowment plan or the guaranteed income plans. You have earned, you know, barely got an insurance. You barely got a return. And it has turned out to be so disappointing. And people have done it because Indians are great savers. Everybody understands, even in a very intuitive way, your grandmother will be doing it, or you have seen your mother doing it, and while managing at the home. So despite saving, despite parking it somewhere, and historically, ever since the market opened, and I'm looking at the opening of the market since 1990, before that, there was no such avenue. The only way in the 90s till 2000 or 2003, the only way people could invest was IPOs. And the starting point was UTI. 86 to 93, we saw the Morgan Stanley's and Can Bank and Magnum Multipliers and all those things. And that was the beginning. And that is where people got introduced to the marketplace. But these were not investment avenues where people could park, you know, it could, you earn every month, you spend every month. And can you really put it to work every month? No, it was always available on top periodically. It was not never available on tap, and it was available periodically. And that was a nightmare. I have seen that the first 10 years when Indian investors, the market became accessible to them. It was either IPOs, and IPOs will flood the market only when the going is good, the market is overheated, a promoter decides to, you know, dump his stock to naive and the gullible. And that was the case with mutual funds. You know, this plumbing got fixed only recently. Now you have a smartphone. It is not mutual fund industry. It is not NPS. It is what has happened to the ecosystem. Everybody has a smartphone. Everybody has a UPI. Everybody has a Jan Dhan account. It was a nightmare in the mid-90s. For one person, help working for us to help her get started with a mutual fund SIP because it required 12 post-dated checks and one will not get more than 10.
So with all these changes then coming about, Dhirendra, would you say that now retirement planning could become a priority for a lot of the young earners? Because as the systemic ecosystem change happens, it also drives a change in behavior because there is assurance key when we do this, there shouldn't be an issue. So do you think retirement planning, which is often seen as a goal for later in life, with all the changes that we are seeing, will it make it one of the financial priorities for young earners? So if you can, you know, sort of outline the ease of opening, let's say, a pension account or the benefits that one would receive in doing so, I think that would be of help for the viewing audience here.
If you start 10 years later, it's not good enough. Your money needs time. If you work hard to put that thing aside right now, that is far more important than you getting excited about working for your retirement or investing for your retirement when you are 45. Because now the convenience, the understanding, everything is in place. Even the vehicle is something where, in fact, a lot of people are focused on return, the previous question you were referring to. Returns don't matter. In fact, when I look at the mutual fund return over the last 30, 35 years, I'm in the business of, you know, calculating return of mutual fund for the last 35 years. And when I look at the finest fund, and the good fund, and the not so good fund. In fact, with all of them, you'll be well off. You'll be richer. You would have beaten fixed income. You would have beaten inflation. And that is my first two hurdle. That has my money actually grown? Because sometimes we think that the money has grown in your fixed deposit or your LIC, but it hasn't grown. It has come down. It has come down because of inflation, because what your money could buy now is less than what when you invested. That is a concept which people don't relate to intuitively. So you will do well anyway. Your money needs time. And your first 10 years is far more important. First 10 years is also important from another aspect. Investing subsequently is entirely a matter of early formation. And why pension? Why every month? Because mutual fund or the stock investing, which has been democratized by the fintechs or the enablement of the with the ecosystem, the problem is that this money is accessible. And no Indian actually, the starting Indian, with his investments, never invest for more than 2 years. Investing is a positive endeavor. You don't invest money that, okay, I will lose a lot of money after I invest, and then eventually I'll be well off. You want, you know, at least in the initial phases, you want the comfort of, okay, I'm not losing money. Or, you know, you end up waiting, you end up timing that, okay, let it fall, then I'll invest, and then you never invest. And so, being systematic, being methodical, get used to, and being forced to do it for 2-3 years, this financial affair is something where you don't learn from anybody else's mistake. It is sadhana.
You have to go through that Agni Pariksha yourself.
You have to lose your own money.
That's a great point, because I myself was surprised when my financial planner had asked me to invest in a pension product, in the NPS. I was initially apprehensive about it being complicated, but it's remarkably simple to use. In fact, for investing in say a pension account, it's become so easy that I think a lot of people don't know how easy it is to invest.
Starting is easy, but that doesn't mean it's not complex. It is simple only if you are able to unclutter your mind and have clarity of what you want. Because now even NPS comes with 15 options.
Absolutely.
And then it started with, for the government employees, and there were two options. There is an advantage of, there is a benefit of having a default. There is a benefit of having this complexity. There is a benefit of glide path to the right thing for a user. Getting started everything with anything in India has become easy.
Whether it's the long journey.
And it's basically the choice. It's the clutter which makes your life complicated. You have this market-linked scheme framework which has come about, or which one, or which not. And then the Vatsalya scheme, how much allocation, what should you do, tax treatment, you know, and this is where you have competing options. When you think of a girl child and you want to choose, you want to start your Vatsalya scheme, and it's brilliant. And you have what other option you have. You have the Sukanya Samriddhi Yojana from Government of India. There can't be anything safer, yielding little better than PPF all the time. And has the connect as well for your girl child to take care of it. And here's a special scheme. And 18-year term fixed income scheme. This Vatsalya scheme with its very conservative framework will also beat it hands down. And I think the other advantage that comes with it is, you know, a kid when he turns adult, you know, 18 years, it'll get demonstrated that the magic of compounding in a market-linked investment. You have all these baptization that have happened in the, you know, while you were born and by the time you become an adult. And you are a beneficiary of that. And you are a beneficiary of the action which is demonstrated how great, because most people in, most people, if you classify them, there are two kind of people in the world. The people who save and the people who borrow. And you are, you know, anybody who inherits this Vatsalya scheme is the person who will fall in that thing. He will actually be the saver kind because it has been demonstrated. All his life he will be saving and he will have more than enough. And he's unlikely to outlive his own savings simply because this habit has been formed and demonstrated and far easy to ride it.
All right, let's get down to the brass tacks as we progress. Now, let's have a rapid-fire conversation because when we look at, say, a personal NPS, folks see it more as a retirement product. Corporate NPS, they see it more as a tax saving. But I think people are missing the bigger picture, right? At the broad sense, this is a wealth-building strategy. So rather than thinking it in divisions, they have to think it in one wealth-building strategy framework. Quick answer from you as we go ahead.
No, it is. You know, these are actually it's the same thing. You have the single retirement account. Your employer is putting money in that. And this is the ATC is gone. All other deductions are gone. This is the only tax saving earning that you have, which is completely tax free. It is not even tax deductible. It is tax free. The only other income in this country which is tax free is agriculture income. And so if you're in the organized sector and if you're able to persuade your employer to put this money, this is the tax free in tax free income that you have for your retirement. And you should look at your contribution differently. And look at this 14% of your basic as tax-free income.
But that's what surprises me, that corporate in NPS hasn't seen as much of a widespread adoption as I would assume it would be. Because as you mentioned, 14% of a salary is going and it's basically tax-free returns when you get it. So do you think this is one of the most underutilized wealth-building opportunities that we've actually seen, that the more the momentum builds up, the more people understand what is corporate NPS and their employers sign up to it, the momentum will grow from here?
Absolutely. You know, this is something, these are early days. Only recently it was revised to 14%. But this is brilliant. You know, here is a PRAN number. It is portable. And this is the only tax-free income employees have. And it will get demonstrated. Now they have ample flexibility. When you look at the, lot of people had this confusion or apprehension about the withdrawal mechanism. The kind of flexibility that PFRDA has brought about, all those objections are more than addressed. Mm. And this is the finest investment vehicle, the lowest cost investment vehicle for which you should accumulate and be so disciplined and have the highest allocation till you're 45.
With regards to Vatsalya also, which you mentioned, I think that is also helping to build this disciplined long-term investment.
Oh, this is one of the finest demonstration of long-term market-linked accumulation.
Narendra, one of the biggest missed opportunities is not making the wrong investment. It's delaying making the right one. So I want to understand from you the opportunity cost which is lost when you postpone retirement planning, because I think those numbers put in perspective will help our viewers understand, saying if they start this journey late, what is the cost that they are going to incur?
In fact, there is a double cost of starting late. Mm. One is that you have not given time to your money, the money which could have worked the most and would have remained invested for the longest period has not been put to work. Mm. Second is that the moment you lose 10 years' time, 15 years' time, the residual time is not enough. Mm. And then you get anxious about it, that I don't have enough time now. Will it work? And then any markets, you take any 20, 30, 40 years period, you will have a market cycle of 3-4 years, which will give you which will make you anxious, and then it will make you happy too. Mm. That is what market cycles are, and that is not going to change. So the double cost is that the money which will actually, because if you do it for the first 10 years, you get extremely relaxed, get used to, and then you are trained to behave in a certain manner for the next 20 years. When you start 10 years later, you don't get that opportunity for the first 10 years, and then you have lost time, and then you are getting anxious, and then you're behaviorally, you get configured not to benefit from any market-linked investment.
Mm. Broadly, from an ecosystem perspective, what needs to happen? Because when you talk about building a pension India, what role do you see for regulators, employers, financial institutions in making retirement planning a mainstream financial habit? What would you say?
It simply should be imposed in the organized sector.
Mm.
And I think NPS or EPS should become a choice and a simple choice. Even today, it is not. It is a discretionary thing. Mm. There is a tax incentive added to it. And I don't think, and crafting the default with simplicity, not giving access to this money in a hurry, I think that is why we see that anybody who starts a PPF or anybody who starts which is a discretionary thing, but withdrawal is restricted.
Mm.
The disadvantage of all the market-linked investments, where all the regulators have made sure that everything is absolutely liquid all the time, that is not a very favorable thing to make you a long-term successful investor, to benefit from. You misbehave. You panic at the wrong time. You get excited at the wrong time. And that is something which should be imposed by the design itself.
Hmm.
Crafting the default in a manner that you are able to navigate the journey better, and imposing it on employers or incentivizing them. Because today, tax saving cannot be an incentive. And I think rightly so. Because up to 12 lakh rupees, your income is tax-free. So by the time a youngster gets, starts and achieves that number, by that time, your habits don't form.
So creating the default in the journey where, say, pensions become an integral part of every individual's financial journey rather than becoming an afterthought, what needs to be done? Because India is working towards expanding pension fund coverage. PFRDA has sought to position retirement planning as a sort of a broader financial well-being movement. So what will it take to build that culture where, as you mentioned, pensions become a default part of our investment journey? What do you think is necessary?
We run the risk of changing the complexion of the people who are getting started now in the workforce. As I said earlier, good default, imposed incentivizing employers, not incentivizing with tax, incentivizing employers in a manner that they, because you are creating a very different kind of citizen who will be on his own as compared to a person, because even the governments are providing in the low-income group.
Mm.
There's a government-funded pension in every election. It's an election agenda.
Mm.
Why can't the government ensure some kind of incentive for the employer who works on providing, pension plan?
Mm.
And a nominal one. just a nudge, just as an incentive, or and simplify, and that is happening at PFRDA.
Absolutely.
Simplifying the whole vehicle, because the employer registration and all these things, it has to become even more simpler.
Hmm. And even the nature of work itself is evolving, Dhirendra, because when we look at it, the people are shifting jobs more frequently, there's more freelancing, it's a gig economy which is emerging. So in that point of view, what would you say, you know, is going to be the thinking around retirement planning, because the nature of work itself is evolving. How do you think the concept of retirement planning in view of this changing nature of work is going to progress?
This is where the whole imposition thing, where this is where the default thing comes into play. Mm. If I earn something like 2,000, 25,000 rupees a month, and I'm a delivery boy with Zomato, if my employer deducts 2,500 rupees and puts it in the NPS, and then the NPS app gives me a nudge that if you put this money in the tier two, which is almost like your savings account, then the person gets into a savings habit. Mm. But I don't know when it can happen, because these are such tight economic framework. This person might be a part-timer. This person might be a full-timer. Whom it will be imposed? Because so far we have been used to rules being framed and imposed on employers and individuals and incentivized with very tight tax incentive. Mm. This is something which requires nudge. This is something which requires somebody's, one is to enable it, incentivize the employer, motivate the user, and his ability to control it. Mm. What part of the money gets into tier two? What part of the money gets into tier one? Tier two, tier one is locked in substantially. And that is his fallback. If you look at all the other changes that is coming, that, you know, for health, the other add-ons which are getting added to the NPS account, this is going to be a very big benefit for any such person who will be tied for all his life.
All right, we're almost out of time. So just last 2-3 questions. What lessons do you think India can learn from, say, stronger pension ecosystems which exist around the world? Not just in terms of the process, but also in terms of, you know, the building the culture, shaping the whole ecosystem, so on and so forth. What lessons can India learn from countries that have done this the right way, a stronger pension ecosystem?
When you look at the developed world, it is not a right example simply because they are, you know, when you compare the population and the diversity of it, none of it is comparable. But looking at Australia, the architecture is something we should learn from. When you look at Australia, the architecture, and everybody becomes, you know, you get a PAN number and pension account becomes a default. So your readiness to invest or save, is almost instant. When you look at US, this 401k was the revolution. It was actually, we are witnessing that 401k moment with our SIP book. In fact, this month, the SIP allocation investment in mutual fund was about 31,000 crore. Mm. And when you look at the employee provident, and this is discretionary, everybody has chosen to open a SIP account, chosen a fund, and it is spread over 400 funds, equity funds. When you look at employee provident fund, average monthly contribution in the mandatory scheme, that does not cross 30,000 last year. Mm. I'm talking of the, based on the last year Ministry of Labour's annual report. So the discretionary savings can really climb. People can get disciplined. People are still timing it. Mm. People are. We still have 92% of the F&O traders going to those places and losing money. But we have these many people coming and pouring 30,000 rupees every month, which has not gone down despite the ups and downs of the market. So Australia, US 401k, employer's contribution and giving it freedom. Australia default and UK easy exit. I think these are the three things which comes to mind.
All right, three references for us. Now, taking this forward, do you think for retirement planning to become a more mainstream talking point, as you mentioned, 401k is a mainstream talking point in the US. For retirement planning to become mainstream, do you think the conversation around pensions itself now needs to change from looking at it as a sort of a safety net for old age to a sort of pillar for long-term value and wealth creation? Do you think that conversation is necessary?
Yeah, I think we need to change the conversation and the argument and the framing completely. It's almost like writing a story. And you know, pension or retirement planning is being looked upon as a welfare thing.
Mm.
It's a giveaway. It's a dole. No. You start working and you work for 30 years. And in those 30 years, you plan a part of your income in such a manner that it will take care of you for the other 30 years or 35 years. All, you know, you will not you will not be out of money while you live. Not outliving your money till you die is a very important objective. And that is something which has to be reared. Because the moment you say that retirement planning, that it looks like distant in future and you have to do it. No, you have to plan for it. Otherwise, you run this grim prospect of outliving your savings and losing your dignity.
Now, since you've talked about looking into the future, let me wrap up this conversation by asking you a question by looking into a crystal ball, saying when you look at a truly pensioned India, what does success look like for you?
Success looks like, you know, not the corpus that the PFRD reports. If you look at how many people, how many citizens are now part of it, how many mutual fund investors are part of it, and what will be the support as a result of which, because, you know, these numbers look very handsome. These numbers look very big. These numbers look like success. That is not success. What that number will translate to, because, you know, a 20-year-old person contributing 10,000 rupees is different. A 45-year-old person contributing 70,000 rupees a month from his employer as well as his own contribution is different. When all these people will turn 60, what that corpus will translate into monthly income. If we just change this conversation, that based on all this, on the weighted average, people's income will be this many rupees, the conversation will become serious. Right now, everybody is working very hard. Everybody is reforming. In fact, the government has done its job. PFRD is doing it. NPS architecture is changing. NPS is becoming accessible. It has been simplified so substantially. Now the thing is, how do we drive people that if we, along with this, like I get my NPS statement and I get that this is the amount I contributed, this is the value. If I get a sentence alongside or a number alongside that this will translate into only 28,000 rupees per month when I turn 60, I will get serious and I will get a reminder every month. That should be the first sentence. And this can have a dramatic, you know, behavioral impact.
Indeed, Dhirendra, as you mentioned, context changes the conversation. Thank you so much for sharing with us your insights. Well, the biggest takeaway from today's conversation is that building a pensioned India isn't simply about launching new products or increasing participation. It's about changing the way we think about money itself. As India moves towards becoming a developed economy, retirement planning will need to become as routine as saving, investing, and insuring. With that, it's a wrap on this special presentation of National Pension System and Association of NPS Intermediaries present Retire Rich in association with Money Control. Thank you so much for watching.
NPS Zaruri Hai and ENPI presents Retire Rich in association with Money Control.